You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 23rd of August 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm going to begin today's episode by reminding listeners of the call that I put out last week. I'm wanting to hear from Radio Albion listeners because an accusation has been made against me that what I say is likely to stir up hate. So I would like to hear from you how Radio Albion makes you feel, why you listen, and especially if you have been inspired to take any action. Especially good is if you have been listening since the Radio Aryan days and can comment on any changes that you have noticed over the years. And if you can put that in writing for me, drop it in the chat room. Send it to my email address, which is stormersubs@hushmail.com, or contact me on Telegram, or leave a comment in the Discus comments, whatever way you can. I'm wanting to hear from our listeners about why you listen to Radio Albion and what it makes you feel like, basically. And that's really all that I can say about it. Well, to get into the news today, we've actually got some news stories from Wales. I'm not sure if we will be able to get into both of them today, but we will see. And the first one concerns a similar subject to the one that we were talking about last week with the Scottish guidance to teachers to diagnose whether 4- and 5-year-olds are transgenders. And if they think that they are, then to call them by the opposite gender's name and not tell the parents that you are doing this. And this is something similar that has been going on in Wales, but with much older children. Parents have slammed a school for calling their son by a female name without checking with them first after he told them he was transgender. And it doesn't tell us about any other problems that the lad might have. He may be autistic, he may have body dysmorphia, he may be bipolar. There are all sorts of other issues that a lot of these teens have. And because there is so much attention based around transgenders, a lot of them decide that what their problem is must be transgender, because then it's like the child is then in charge, because the child can dictate to the teachers what names they want to be called, what pronouns they have. And when the teachers get it wrong, they're all apologetic and they have a lot of attention that gets lavished upon them. You also have the fact that if they are having issues with their body, they may feel uncomfortable in their body. I mean, all adolescents feel uncomfortable within their own body at some stage because their body is going through changes. They're going through puberty. And we used to be told when I was at school that these changes might happen, they will happen, and your hormones are going to change. And you may have strange feelings. You may, for instance, have a crush on a teacher, or you may have a crush on one of your friends. And if so, not to worry. It doesn't mean that you're homosexual, and you will probably grow out of those feelings and they will change. And it's just because you got all these new hormones in you that you didn't have before to a much higher degree. And that's what we used to be taught. And nowadays, they wouldn't teach you that. Nowadays, they would probably say, well, perhaps you're homosexual. Perhaps you should experiment as being homosexual. Or perhaps you are a transgender. Perhaps you should experiment by wearing the opposite gender's clothes, and they would encourage the child to think that he was homosexual or to think that he was a transgender, because you're supposed to reaffirm a person's identity. And of course, when you are a teenager, you go through lots of different identities. You might be a rocker, you might get into your football, you might be into your rave music, all sorts of phases teenagers can go through. And it's probably the same with situations like this. You get children that just go through phases. The danger is, if they're going through a phase where they think they might be the opposite gender, and they're then given puberty blockers, or they start trying the opposite sex's hormones, they're going to be doing lasting damage to themselves, lasting damage to their bodies. They could end up being infertile. They could end up never being able to enjoy sex. And as we know, so many of these poor individuals end up committing suicide, and they get a lot of depression. And a large degree of that depression is the fact that they have irreversibly made changes to their body in the pursuit of something that they can never have, because you cannot change your chromosomes, you cannot change your bone structure. It's effectively having a fantasy wish that can never be fulfilled. And because of the nature of being a child, and you're not really that well informed in what goes on around you, and you also cannot possibly know what it's like to be an adult when you are an innocent child, after that innocence has been taken from you, and when you understand about sexual things and sexual attraction, you're not going to understand that when you are a child. So you may make a decision that could affect you in later life without possibly understanding all the full ramifications of that. And if you've got teachers that are encouraging that, and the teachers are in a position of authority, and they're saying, well, you must be a transgender because you come out as a transgender, so that must be what you are, then there's no going back, is there? And it's not looked at as a phase. This is a danger with it, with saying that you have to reaffirm these people. And it's the same problem with doctors. When somebody confused about their gender goes to the doctor and says, I'm confused about my gender, the doctors aren't allowed to say, well, it could be autism, it could be body dysmorphia, it could be bipolar, because if they do that, they're not reaffirming the person's chosen gender. And you have to, by law, reaffirm a person's chosen gender. This is the danger in all of this. And we've seen a massive increase in the number of children that are identifying as transgenders. Unfortunately, getting back to this article here, the school in Rhondda-Cynon-Taf, South Wales, said the boy, who is under 14, had requested he be called by a girl's name and asked to join the girls' PE classes. Now, you would have thought that is something that they would tell the parents. When a parent sends their child to school, the teachers are being entrusted with that child. The parents are saying, we trust you to look after my child and to tell me anything that I should be told about. And you would think that if your child expressed a desire to use the opposite sex's changing rooms, that would be something that they would want to tell you about. Obviously, this is something concerning. This is going to be concerning for a boy's father to think that his son may not be happy in the body that he has. The boy's father said his son had been bullied before, but that he had never mentioned these feelings. So if he's never mentioned these feelings, the chances are that this is just a fad. This is just something that he is now talking about. These transgenders, some of them say that they had these feelings when they were very young. And this is the reason why they have all this activism to try and get young people, when they identify as transgender, to try and put them on these pathways. Because some of these transgenders say that they did know that they were transgender when they were very young. But there's also a lot of people that may have been a bit androgynous when they were a teenager, or they may have had a crush on somebody of their own sex and grown out of it and gone on to lead non-transgender lives. And all of those people today, if they get put on one of these pathways, it's really going to mess them up. It says here that the son had been bullied before, and I had a look through some of the trans toolkit today, which is what their school is actually using, and we'll get to that in a bit. And they use as their reasoning for doing this, they say that 45% of transsexual students have been bullied at school. And I would make an estimate that that's probably the same for everybody, probably about 45% of all students have been bullied at school. I mean, everybody's been bullied at school at one time or another. If you do things that stand out from the crowd, you're likely to get bullied about it, because bullying is about social shaming. It's about trying to get people to adhere to social norms. And in a lot of cases, I mean, these social norms are there to protect the group. So if somebody's doing something that isn't conducive to the group, then they may be shamed, and that finds its expression at school in cases of bullying, which is probably the most unsophisticated way of expressing this social shaming. But I think most people have been bullied at some point or another. It's not like homosexuals and transgenders are the only people to get bullied, but whenever they have these anti-bullying programs that go on, that seems to be all that they talk about. They don't talk about anybody else getting bullied at school nowadays. It's all just to do with homosexuals. During a meeting with the school, the family expressed that they wanted their son to be allowed therapy before any changes were made. Well, what sort of therapy did they think that he was going to get? I mean, these schools and the doctors, they're both told if somebody identifies as transgender, they have to affirm the chosen gender. So the only therapy he's going to be given is therapy that encourages him to be a transgender. The school said it was obliged to follow guidance from the local authority, known as a trans toolkit, and that some teachers had already started calling him by a female name. Now, this trans toolkit has been created by activists. It's created by a charity that's called Mermaids, and it goes under the name of a transsexual or transgender charity. And what it basically is activists. We've reported on them before. I think it might well have been somebody from Mermaids that ended up getting the vicar into trouble when he got into trouble with the anti-terrorist prevent unit after somebody had been speaking at the school. And I think they may have been from Mermaids. We've certainly had stories where people have challenged what these Mermaids activists had to say, and they've ended up losing their jobs for challenging them and saying, well, look, this isn't actual science that you are talking about here. There is no science to back up what you are saying. You don't get people that are born into the wrong body. You end up with people having a dysphoria. You either have XX chromosomes or you have XY chromosomes. You have one biological gender or another. And yet these activists will try and claim different. And of course, we know that there's been, I think it's something like a 4,000% increase in the number of children identifying as transgender in the last 10 years. Mermaids in their trans toolkit, just look at the increase over the last year or over the last 2 years, which is a way to sort of play it down and pretend there hasn't been such a huge increase. And this huge increase has tied in with the promotion of transgenderism to children, basically, and also the lowering of the average testosterone levels amongst men by 20% over the last 20 years. There was a very good podcast interview that was put out by Professor Edward Dutton last week with a transgender on there, and the transgender was talking about how they believed that the reason why they were transgender is because when they were a child, they didn't have enough testosterone. They think that the mother didn't have enough testosterone in the womb, which helps the male brain to form in the way that the male brain forms. And they believe that they didn't have enough testosterone when they were growing up to help them to turn into the sort of person that's going to be happy with a male body. And I can find this believable. Testosterone is responsible for a whole lot more than just building muscles. I mean, it affects the way that you think about things as well. And if we have lower testosterone in the environment and lower testosterone in our children, then they are susceptible to this kind of thing. And I don't think we should be encouraging it. We should be looking at it and saying, well, this has made everybody more susceptible to this, so we should be compensating for that. We should be trying to find a way to compensate for the fact that we don't have so much testosterone. Not encouraging people to be dysphoric, which is what you're doing when you encourage someone to be transgender. You're encouraging them in their dysphoria, because it is gender dysphoria. And this activist group, this mermaids activist group, that's what they're doing. They're encouraging people to see themselves as dysphoric. The boy's father said, they, meaning the school, said the child is within their rights to do this. And that's to be called by a girl's name and to go to the girl's PE classes. And the parents were like, no, wait, don't put him on a path we are really frightened of. We do not know where this path leads. And again, this is another point that's being made here. When they put these children onto these puberty blockers and they give them the opposite sex's hormones, so that when they have a puberty, they have a bizarre puberty that's never been known before in the history of man. They have a puberty that is actually brought on by the opposite sex's hormones. We don't know what the long-term effects of that are. We know that it leaves them infertile. We don't know what it does to the bones, because you need testosterone to strengthen your bones up. If you're male, if you're a female, you need estrogen to strengthen your bones up. If you're a male and you then take estrogen, we don't know what the end result is on the bone structure. They've only been doing this with children for a few years. They don't know what the long-term effects are with the adults. We do know that some of the adults are suing the Tavistock Clinic for what has happened to them. So obviously the parents are going to be very concerned about this. And these teachers were just not telling them. They were just going to put this child on this path without telling the parents. The school was in a difficult position, as they were following guidelines from the council, which seemed to say, go along with the child's wishes. It was a horrible time. Again, this is the problem. I mean, I'm sure some of these teachers probably don't like doing this, but they're just following the guidelines that they've been given. The council have given them then. And who has given these guidelines to the council? Well, it's these activist groups. It's the activist groups that gave the guidelines to the council. It's the same with the hate speech laws. It's the activist groups that have drafted the way that these hate speech laws are supposed to be interpreted. And it's the same thing here. It's transgender activists have drafted the guidelines for how children who may have gender dysphoria are supposed to be treated. It hasn't been designed by psychiatrists. It hasn't been looked at by a balanced panel with different views. It's just been looked at by transsexuals who have an obvious interest in doing what's best for transsexuals rather than doing what's best for everybody. Don't forget, I mean, these children, they may very well not be transgenders, but they're just going to be treated like it, and they could then well be put on a path from which there is no coming back from. During meetings with the school, it was suggested the boy meet an advocate from a charity who his parents thought would be neutral and would give him a voice. And my suspicion is that the advocate from a charity would have been somebody from Mermaids, so they most certainly would not have been neutral, and the voice that they would have been using would have been the voice of transgender activists. They would not have wanted to hear any alternative views or opinions, any suggestion that the child might have something else wrong with him. Don't forget, I think something like 50% of these transgenders that are children are also diagnosed with autism. There is a connection with autism here. But notes from the meeting, according to a legal letter, said the advocate had told the boy it was his human right to be called whatever he wants. So the advocate wasn't being balanced. They weren't being fair. And they were obviously keen to tell the child he had these human rights, when really the child is the property of the parents. I mean, it's the parent that decides what rights the child should have and what duties the child has as well. And now we seem to have taken that right away from the parents and assumed that that is a right that the state should be giving out. The boy also told his parents the advocate allegedly said that if his name was not changed on the school register, ass would be kicked big time, and that he should try wearing girls' clothes. And this is incredible. If you could have told me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that teachers and advocates at schools would be telling little boys at the age of under 14 to try wearing girls' clothes. I mean, you would have thought the guy would have been locked up for being a pervert, for suggesting somebody going through puberty try wearing the other gender's clothes. I mean, this is the sort of thing that you would expect to read in smutty magazines, not be taught to children. And I don't doubt that the advocate here is doing what they think is best for the child. But I think that their views on what is best for the child has been coloured by their own activism and by the way that they are. They're not looking at this from the point of view of the family. They're not looking at this from the point of view of heterosexuals. They're looking at it from the point of view of, well, this must be another transsexual. So he should be wearing girls' clothes because he's definitely a transsexual or a transgender or whatever the latest politically correct term is for these gender dysphoric people. After the family challenged this with lawyers, Rhonda Kenontaff, County Borough Council, confirmed that it had temporarily removed the toolkit and would review it. Well, that's good news, at least, but they should never have been using it in the first place, considering where it came from. The guidance had advised schools that they should support children to change gender and that they could use toilets and changing facilities most closely aligned with their identity. Well, what about the girls who also use those toilets? Will they be happy with a boy going in there? A boy who had never actually showed any signs of this before and just suddenly out of the blue decided that he was a transgender, and suddenly he's allowed to use the same loos as the girls. I mean, you can see that some boys might decide to do this just for a bit of a joke, just so that they can get into the girls' toilets. No, nobody seems to be thinking of the rights of the female pupils here, or the non-transgender pupils, I should say. The Trans Toolkit for Teachers stated, "Remember that a pupil who identifies as a trans girl but was born biologically male is not a boy dressed as a girl, but is a girl who outwardly at this point resembles a boy." Well, they are a boy. Biologically, they are a boy who is confused about their body, aren't they? They're confused about reality. And what they're setting them up for here is just a lifetime of not being happy in the body that they're in. Really, we should be going about this in completely the opposite way. We should be reaffirming what somebody's gender is, unless, of course, we know that they were born intersex. Like you do get some women, particularly like Caster Semenya, the famous African runner, and she produces extra testosterone because she's got extra testosterone producing parts of her body in her ovaries. She's essentially got partially male sexual characteristics as well as female. And in cases like that, then, you know, maybe you would say, well, okay, whoever it is that you prefer to identify with, that should be encouraged. But when you've got somebody that, to all intents and purposes, is perfectly normally biologically male or biologically female, to then encourage them to think that they're the wrong spirit within the right body, or the right spirit within the wrong body, is not science. I mean, it's just quack science, isn't it, to believe that people are being portioned out with the wrong spirit into the wrong body. Is God making all these mistakes up there? Is how do they define this in science? How does this fit in with evolution, if you go along with evolution? It doesn't. It's It's just another crazy left-wing idea that is being put across as reality now. And backed up by science. And I dare say the way that they get it to look like it's backed up by science is by putting a lot of money into studies that are going to prove these sorts of things and putting no money into studies that aren't. And of course, people that do speak up about this, scientists that do speak up about this and doctors who do, they're not going to get funding, or they're going to be struck off, or they're going to be cancelled, and they're not going to be given a platform to talk about this because what they're talking about goes against the mainstream narrative. A Rhonda Council spokesman said, given that over 2 years have passed since this toolkit was introduced, the school summer holiday has provided us with an opportune time to consider how the toolkit might be improved to better support schools and their pupils. We will look to reinstate the toolkit as soon as possible once our review is complete. Well, I would suggest that a good way to improve this toolkit is when you have an advocate there, you should have an advocate there as an advocate for not being transgender to balance out the advocate that's there that wants to reaffirm the identity and tell the child that they are transgender. They should have somebody there that is going to tell them the negative side to all of this and the fact that they could be infertile, they won't get sexual enjoyment, they won't have a proper puberty, they won't be happy in their body for all of their life, because no matter what they do to it, no matter what modifications they do to it, people will always still be able to tell what biological sex they are. So is it really worth going onto this pathway of being depressed about not being in the right body? I mean, they need to be given a balanced view, not just told this biased view all the time. RCC Council, like others in the local authority sector, is committed to establishing arrangements that can assist in providing support to transgender and gender-questioning pupils. It would not be appropriate to comment on any single case or individual situation. Well, it's good that they do admit that there are gender-questioning pupils as well as transgenders, but as soon as they start gender-questioning, the guidance is that they have to reaffirm whatever gender it is that they've decided to be. And as we see here, it can just come straight out of the blue. Somebody could just suddenly say one day, well, I think I'm the opposite gender, and all of this then comes into play. This comes, as we talked about last week, as Scotland earlier this month announced that children as young as 4 will be able to change their gender at school without their parents' consent. And of course, it's not that children are changing their gender at school, it's that teachers will now diagnose a child as being a transgender at school without then telling the parents. If a little girl starts playing with little boys' toys, maybe they'll decide that the little girl is actually a little boy and start calling them a boy's name. Or maybe if you've got a little girl that likes to play with boys' toys and shows characteristics of a tomboy, they're going to be identified and diagnosed as a transgender. And when the parent comes to pick the child up at school one day, they may find that they're dressed in completely different clothing and being addressed by a completely different name to the one that they gave them. Any pupil who decides they want to switch gender must be supported and listened to in school following the Scottish government advice. Well, yeah, of course, children should be listen to, but if they want to do things which could be very harmful to their future lives, surely they should be told about both sides of it. And surely it's the parents that should be making this decision, because a child is not conscious enough to consent to things like this. It's the parents that are responsible for the child and that should be given the consent to do things like this, not just a teacher deciding that. The guidance applies in primary schools where the youngest children are only 4 or 5, because recognition and development of gender identity can occur at a young age. Well, yeah, it does. You learn that you like to play with boys' toys, or you learn that you like to play with girls' toys. That doesn't mean that at that age you can make a decision that you want to go on a pathway that results in mutilating your body and being dysphoric about the body that you have for the rest of your life. It also tells teachers not to question a child who says they want to transition to live as a boy or a girl, and instead just ask for their new name and pronouns. I mean, this is horrific what's going on here. Primary and secondary schools have also been told to put books featuring transgender people on the curriculum, allow pupils to choose which changing room or toilets to use, and consider introducing a gender-neutral uniform. And we recently saw what it's like putting books or children's images of these transgender people on the Nickelodeon cartoon that had a drag queen on it with all these various different types of homosexuality that were in a pride parade, which was aimed at children, aimed at five-year-olds. And of course, they had transgender beavers on there with scars where they had had mastectomies. So they're going to be teaching that sort of thing to children. And of course, that's what they've just banned in Hungary, is promoting this stuff to children without the parents' consent, of course. The guidance was branded shocking and led to concerns that children are being allowed to make life-changing decisions at too young an age. Again, they're offloading this onto the child. They're claiming it's the child that's making this life-changing decision at 4 or 5 years old. It's not. It's the teacher. It's the teacher that is diagnosing the child as transgender. It's not the child. The child doesn't know what he's doing. The child is just playing with the toys that he wants to play with and behaving in the way that he wants to behave. It's the teacher that is diagnosing transgenderism and saying this child is transgender and therefore we should treat them as if they are the opposite gender and not tell the parents. The advice says some young people are exploring their gender identity in primary school settings. Primary schools need to be able to meet the needs of these young people to ensure they have a safe, inclusive and respectful environment in which to learn. So just think about that. They're now referring to 4 and 5 year olds as young people. They're innocent children. They're not young people. They are innocent children, and they should have the right to be protected from this sort of thing. When their parents entrust them to the school, they expect the school to protect them, not to diagnose them as transgender without telling the parents. A section on changing name and recorded sex says children simply need to tell others informally that they want to use a different name and that they don't need to record this formally on their official school record. I mean, the child could go all the way through school being told that they're the opposite gender by the teachers without the parents even knowing. Advice to school staff on what to do if a child wants to discuss their gender includes asking what names and pronoun you should use to address them. It also says that they should ask if their family are aware that they are considering their gender identity, but does not suggest the teacher should contact them. Ask a five-year-old whether their family are aware that they are considering their gender identity. What five-year-old understands what considering their gender identity means? And this is absolutely ludicrous. They're projecting their own understanding of things as an adult onto innocent children here. It's so dangerous that just sending your children to school now, the sort of things that they can be indoctrinated with. And I really would advise people, if they can, to homeschool their children. And if you're looking for materials on that, go to patrioticalternative.org.uk. They have some very good homeschooling material there. Well, it looks like we haven't got time to get into the second news story today. I will probably use that tomorrow. So thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.